Climate change is real. Climate change is a hot-button political issue, too. This week on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton works through the angry rhetoric with an author who is actually optimistic about the coming change from fossil fuel to clean energy. The author highlights, along with former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg, how business and citizens can both keep positive attitudes while making positive climate choices. Keeping your cool about a heated topic starts now.
Hi, and welcome to this week's Techonomics. You may have heard about this climate change thing. You know, that whole food air deal. Well, usually that conversation about climate change is politically charged, to say the least, with a tiny but vocal amount of climate deniers clinging to the hope that the Earth will never run out of fossil fuels and that somehow the atmosphere will heal itself. So how about we throw some actual hope at the issue? That's exactly what former Sierra Club executive director Carl Pope and billionaire and former New York City mayor Michael Bloomberg did when they co-authored a new book titled Climate of Hope. Here we go.
I'm Carl Pope. I'm the former executive director of the Sierra Club and a senior advisor to Mike Bloomberg, the UN Special Envoy for Climate and Cities.
Let's start at a higher level and then circle back down, if we could, Mr. Pope. Climate of Hope, your new book with Michael Bloomberg, of course, has an optimistic take. We're going to dig into that in just a moment. But can you tell me what the impetus or the origin story for this book?
This book was the result of a 10-year partnership that I forged with Mayor Bloomberg, initially around efforts to find better ways to finance mass transit in New York City, but primarily around a campaign we launched together to replace America's coal-fired power plants with cheaper, cleaner renewables, efficiency, and natural gas. That campaign has been extremely successful, but it didn't get much help from Washington. It's been successful because businesses and local communities and citizens stepped up to the plate and said, we want to move forward. We want to find something better than coal. We are not willing to accept the fact that our electricity supply poisons us. And Mike and I thought that this was just one example of climate solutions as an opportunity, climate solutions as choices that can make us wealthier, can make us healthier, and can make us safer. And we thought that might provide a way past the current partisan gridlock in which the argument is about how serious is the problem. We think the argument should be about how attractive are the solutions.
I see. So a very proactive approach, like in, right there in the title of the book, Climate of Hope. A lot of the reviews and other indications I've seen is optimism is used around this as well. Do you have any examples other than your own in New York that was very successful? Any other civic examples around the country of something that might help change the conversation away from alarmism more towards solution-oriented discussions?
Sure. We already have 25 American cities which have embraced the idea that they can get all of their electricity from wind and solar. And these are not just, some of these are Democratic cities that you might think are a little predictable, like Boulder, Colorado, but others are cities like Salt Lake City, Utah, the biggest city in the reddest state in the United States, or Georgetown, Texas, where the entire city council is Republican. And the mayor's quite clear. He says, we decided to go with wind and solar not because some environmentalists came and took over our city council, but because we wanted to save money. It's cheaper.
Let's stick with the enterprise of this. It seems that you'd mentioned clean technology. Is technology one of the biggest legs on the stool when it comes to helping us address and hopefully solve the climate change problem?
Technology is the biggest leg on the stool. It's not all new technology. In some cases, it's going back and repurposing older technologies. For example, one of the things that we should be doing is shipping more of our goods on rail and less on trucks. So revitalizing our railroads and perhaps even revitalizing passenger rail could be part of the solution. But the big difference over the past 10 years is that 10 years ago, you could make the argument that cleaning up climate pollution was going to cost a lot of money. Today, it's going to make a lot of money. Wind and solar in most of the world deliver electricity that is the cheapest electricity the planet has ever had. And the same thing is going to happen with transportation. Electric cars in 4 or 5 years are going to be so much cheaper to own and operate that people will look back and say, oh, internal combustion engines. How 20th century?
I hope you're right. We're speaking with Carl Pope. He is co-author with Michael Bloomberg of Climate of Hope, How Cities, Businesses, and Citizens Can Save the Planet. You mentioned electric cars there. You put a little timestamp on it, too, 4 to 5 years. You know, coming ahead, we have automation that's going to be a major headwind for a lot of the labor force. Is some of your approach helping to reallocate our labor force into new areas and industries?
That's the key strategy we have to use. Let's look at the coal miners who are getting a lot of attention from the president these days. Back in 1923, there were about 800,000 Americans working in coal mines. By the time Barack Obama became president, that number had fallen to about 75,000. So all of those jobs were eliminated by automation, not by environmental concerns. On the other hand, the clean energy sector, which is really very young, very new, and has a lot of growing to do, is already employing 5 times as many people as oil, coal, and natural gas combined. Now, they're not employing most of them in factories. It does not take that many people to manufacture a solar cell. But once you make the solar cell, you got to put it on somebody's roof, or you got to put it on a landscape so it can capture the sun. That's where the jobs are going to be in clean energy, not so much in making stuff, but installing and maintaining and operating stuff. If you look at your home, and if you have a home that happens to be leaky, as many people in the Bay Area where I live do, and you go out to bid and you look at the cost of getting the leaks in your house fixed, most of those costs are paying people to come in and repair leaks, find leaks. The whole enterprise of modernizing our infrastructure is going to be where the jobs of the future are, and they're mostly in the clean energy transition.
Mr. Pope, you were formerly of the board of the California League of Conservation Voters. Of course, Sierra Club is one of your bona fides as well. And I believe you're from San Francisco. Any hometown discount you can give us, and maybe a shout out to something California has done that maybe pioneered some of this and maybe other states could follow through with?
California has been a pioneer, and California in particular has been a pioneer on the vehicle front. Without California, today's cars would be vastly more polluting, much less reliable, and much more expensive than they are. California has driven the auto industry, which sometimes was a little reluctant to innovate, into becoming it an innovative place. And the interesting thing that's happening now is, as we look forward to a world in which vehicles will probably be collectively owned in fleets, they will be electrically powered, and they may even not be powered and driven by a person, but by a robot. What you see is the auto industry is putting their new research laboratories in California because they want to be close to the center of innovation.
Mr. Pope, we've talked about cities and businesses helping to save the planet, as per your subtitle for the new book, Climate of Hope. Let's talk about, for our last question, citizens. What's an action item that we could take away from right now to maybe help start this thing up?
If you are a resident of a town where you know your kid's school needs to be upgraded and repaired, you ought to get involved in that, because a school that has been modernized is going to be better for education, healthier for your kids, and cheaper to operate. If you live in a neighborhood where a lot of people would like to have solar power but haven't been able to figure out how to do it, you could bring your neighbors together and figure out how you can all get in on rooftop solar. And if your company is going to build a new facility, you ought to make sure that that new facility is as high performance and as efficient as possible, because that's going to save your company money on the bottom line, and that money can be used to raise your salary.
That's right. Mr. Pope, what did I miss that you wanted to include?
I think I want to say to people that while we're hearing a lot of noise from Washington about how we're going to bring back coal jobs and we're not going to go ahead and do climate solutions, the fact is, I wish Donald Trump would change his mind. But if Donald Trump does not change his mind, the United States is still going to meet its obligations to the global community. We're already 2/3 of the way to meeting Barack Obama's Paris climate pledge. And the United States is still likely to end up the world leader in wind and solar and electric vehicles. Right now, we have the 2 best electric vehicles in the world, the Chevy Bolt and the Tesla, which is made right there in the Bay Area. I mean, I don't think Donald Trump can stop us.
Thank you, and thank Mr. Bloomberg when you see him next for all of us, okay?
I will do that. Thank you very much, Jason.
That was Carl Pope, former Sierra Club executive director and co-author of Climate of Hope. He wrote that book with former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg. There are links to this and all of our segments at kgoradio.com/techonomics. There are also podcast links at Audioboom, Stitcher, and iTunes. And that's going to do it for this week's edition. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to check in with us, clickety-clack on over to facebook.com/techonomicsradio. We post the music we play there, too. For executive producer Mike Anthony and producer Liana Wilcox, I'm Jason Middleton. This has been Techonomics. Have great weeks, everybody.